Okay, people, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh, my God!
Would you please tell him that instead of presents this year, I just want my family back?
Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight?
It must be magic.
I must find some way to keep Christmas from coming.
Nobody's walking out on this fun old-fashioned family Christmas.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
True, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about.
Seeing isn't believing. Believing is seeing.
Best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear.
Welcome back to another episode of Tis the podcast that is determined to keep the spirit of Christmas alive 366 days a year. I'm Tom.
I'm Julia.
And I'm Anthony.
How are we doing this week?
In a strange turn of events this year, folks, Tom and I chatted about the Oscars as they were on.
Anthony ignored us.
I ignored nobody.
Did you reply to us while we were texting to you about the Oscars?
I did not ignore anyone. I ignored my phone.
Well, I'm still taking it personally. I still can't believe Barbie won Movie of the Year. That was insane.
Real mind-blowing. Relevant to the podcast and the Oscars, Divine won for Best Supporting Actress from The Holdovers, which I was very, very happy to see.
There was no surprises this year. Every single person who deserved to win one.
Did y'all think the John Cena bit was really funny?
Yes.
I thought that was hilarious.
They were obviously, it was the Illuminati humiliating him. Have y'all seen all the conspiracy theories? I know y'all saw one because I sent it to y'all.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. And yes. Then I love the replies like, yes. Somebody with a body like that is so humiliated having to show it off. Well, like an absolute travesty. How awful that must be.
Has he kept his clothes on any movies he's done? And also, yes,
Ricky Stenicki, which just came out on Amazon Prime and was hilarious.
Ricky Stenicki?
It is about three childhood friends who came up with an imaginary friend to blame all their troublemaking on. And they carried it in.
And it's Ricky Stenicki?
And they carried it forward into adult life, and now the wives and the families want to meet him and want to know why he's not coming to, like, the birth, like, the event of a child. So they hire an Atlantic City washed-up actor, who turns out to be John Cena, to play Ricky Stenicki.
Oh, how funny is that? That's funny. Who else is in that movie?
It's Zac Efron, John Cena, William H. Macy. Those are the three big names. William H. Macy played one of the...
Nice.
Yeah.
Love that. Okay. I thought it was so funny. Marty's like, do you know how many people are just using that to talk about how inappropriate, how classless the Oscars were this year? And I'm like...
Oh my gosh.
That was like one of my favorite parts. So funny. It was like extra funny that he just had sandals on.
It was really funny that he was wearing his Birkenstocks across the stage. That was Christine's comment. Maybe he's wearing Birks.
It was insane just seeing the behind the scenes with them. You can't make sure no crack is showing. Like, did all the rules ABC had, and just all the like 50 people behind him making sure it's perfectly placed.
That's funny.
Yeah, I love that bit. I love the impromptu Batman reunion.
Oh, except that wasn't Arnold's Batman, but that wasn't Arnold's Batman. Would have had like George Clooney at some point, you know, like that would have been a funny aside for George Clooney
they could have played off it later on with Christian Bale and Cillian Murphy, like lots of Batman actors at the Oscars this year.
Right? Yeah, a lot of Batman actors. Yeah, that was awesome. You think Danny DeVito is just always like that now? Just like a little drunk acting.
Yes.
just kind of a little bit. That was so funny. I love that. I cackled. And then what was the other thing that was funny? Emily Blunt and what's his face's bit, you know.
Ryan Gosling, that was funny.
Yeah, that was funny. And I didn't realize they had a movie coming up together, so that was like even more
Ballman, yeah.
Apropos. Yep.
Ryan Gosling's performance was great.
It was great. I liked how the actress trophies were given out the same way they were given out in 2009, where they had former winners and saying nice things to the people. Really, I loved it so much.
I hated that. Like, stop. Like, this is overlong anyway. Just get somebody out there to present the freaking award. When they got to Al Pacino, I was so happy. Just ripped open that envelope and said Oppenheimer without any preamble.
But we did not know who the other nominees were when Robert De Niro did, or when what's his face did that.
He said he was told to do that by the Academy because we showcased the nominees throughout the night.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, you were drunk. You were not told to do it that way.
But didn't somebody from the Oscars confirm that though?
I have no clue.
More importantly, you don't care, do you?
You know what? The people who won, they had some funny bits this year. It got over early this year for once. It was good. It was fine. Keep doing what you're doing. And there was no, and I tell Sarah, I feel weird saying this because, like, I love politics. There was no politics injected this year. And I was so freaking happy. So the Batman was delayed until 2026, which sucks.
Huh. Why is that? Other stuff coming out?
Dune? No, they said the script, they just never finished the script. And Salem's Lot, the remake, is finally releasing on Max.
I saw that. That's exciting.
I cannot go home to Salem's Lot.
And I'm excited that Neve Campbell, they threw all the money at her to come back for Scream 7.
I did see that about Neve Campbell, and I thought about you. That's exciting.
I have some big news this week. We drove last night on a school night to Oklahoma City and took Ellie to her first concert, and it was an arena show. We saw The Main and Jimmy Eat World. And I have seen Jimmy Eat World in an arena before. It was really good.
That's good.
It was so
That's
good.
Super exciting.
It was.
Especially since, like, all of y'all love that band together.
It's more Ellie and I. Christine's very, she likes them, but she's more patient than a big lover of them. So, tonight, we're talking Reba. Hey! Pirates are planted in the past. Though my life is changing fast. Who I am is who I want to be. A single mom who works too hard. Who loves her kids and never stops. With gentle hands and the heart of a fighter. I'm a survivor. So Reba is a TV show starring Reba McEntire. Were y'all familiar with this before?
Familiar, yes. Did I watch it? No. Watched it?
Okay. Anthony?
I was familiar with it, and I have seen it.
Okay. Just as a synopsis, Reba's roots are planted in the past, and though her life is changing fast, who she is who she wants to be. She's a single mom who works too hard, who loves her kids and never stops. With the gentle hands and the heart of a fighter, she's a survivor. That's the synopsis of the show. This show was far too short. It ran from 2001 to 2007.
That is your opinion, sir. That is not the opinion of everyone on this podcast.
You need to stop right now. We are gonna have an all-out fight. This show takes place in Houston, Texas.
I was gonna ask.
Yeah, she's in Houston.
So
and
funny.
It stars Reba McEntire, who plays Reba Hart, the matriarch of a family whose husband recently cheated on her with his dental assistant and got her pregnant. And her teenage high school daughter also is pregnant and living at home with her high school football boyfriend. She has two other kids. And the show revolves around this. Should we hit the cast? Ready to go cast, we think?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's jump in on the cast, and then we'll talk about the episode in particular. The cast is all a returning cast. It's the same cast every time. The star, like I said, is Reba McEntire, the country legend. Do y'all like her movie or her music?
I'm not a huge country fan, but she's fine.
I don't like country. I don't like the music. She seems like a fine human being.
She's a great human being. She has a new restaurant here in Oklahoma. It's in Atoka, and she's trying to do to Atoka what Pioneer Woman did for Pawhuska. And it's a pretty impressive looking restaurant. The whole town looks kind of cool. And we went through Atoka, but we didn't stop there. Our next trip, we are definitely going to go to Reba's and check it out. But Reba McEntire has been in country music for longer than I've been alive and has a ton of hits. She's also done some of the acting since back in the mid-80s. She was in a wonderful Kevin Bacon movie from 1990 called Tremors.
I forgot she's in Tremors.
Y'all, I am not kidding when I say I love that movie. That movie and Flatliners were like my favorite movies around 1990.
Mm-hmm. I am going to say about her acting ability, copy and paste from many other episodes where I say sometimes a singer should not make the jump to acting.
Most of the time.
Justin Timberlake did just fine.
Oh yeah, from Justin to Kelly's, an Oscar-winning film.
He's done a lot of good stuff, and he's a wonderful voice actor. Speaking of voices, she was a voice on. She was one of the 57,000 people who called in to Frasier's show. She was in Little Rascals. There's a movie based on one of her songs called "Is There Life Out There." She's in Maverick. She was voice in Hercules, The Fox and the Hound, Charlotte's Web.
I like her character in Young Sheldon.
She was in Young Sheldon. She's in The Last Man Standing. And there's another Christmas movie I'm going to recommend that we watch from 2021 called Christmas in Tune.
I'm going to get a complaint with her and this special along the way in general. It's a cultural thing. I cannot stand the accent. I'm sorry. It's a cultural thing. She sounds dumb. They sound dumb. Southerners, you can come at me, but it's a cultural thing. And it's very similar to when Tom and Julia don't connect to the more vulgar coastal dynamics in those shows that I like. It's just a cultural thing. I just, not for me.
You lack it, is what you're saying. You lack culture. Got it.
No.
Sorry, Tony, we don't have any meatballs in this episode. I don't know where that came from. That's just what I thought. I thought of New York. No, but I get it. It's far removed from the hustle and bustle life of New York. I get it.
Yes.
Christopher Rich plays Brock, her two-timing cheating husband. And he also has a long career, but I didn't really know him from much of anything because it's nothing. He hasn't done anything big except Reba. He's had a few episodes. He was a recurring character on Murphy Brown and the George Carlin show from the 90s, but
he looked very familiar, but I couldn't place him for anything.
He was on Another World in the 80s, The Charmings also in the 80s, and then he had a lot of single roles or short arcs on other TV shows like Nash Bridges, Boston Legal, and other stuff. Melissa and Joey, other stuff I don't really watch.
Melissa and Joey.
Yeah. His new wife is named Barbara Jean and it's played by Melissa Peterman.
She may be my least favorite character on this show.
I think she's made to be that for people.
What is it though? Because so many episodes have them realizing they're not as bad as they like to pretend they are.
Oh, she's obnoxious through the whole thing. She played, you may remember her. She was hooker number two in Fargo.
how did you know that's what I would remember her from? Well done, Tom.
She was in Working Class, Rita Rocks, Surviving Suburbia, Pretty the Series. And again, she
also
was in
Young Sheldon.
Young Sheldon as Brenda Sparks. She's also annoying in Young Sheldon.
Real quick question about Young Sheldon, Julia. Which characters are getting a spinoff? I see they're spinning off that show now.
Sheldon?
Sheldon already had a spinoff. Ralphie, his brother, Georgie. His brother's wife Yeah, they're getting a spinoff.
So is what's his name who played his brother going to do the voiceover for that? The new...
Jerry O'Connell?
Yeah.
I don't know.
The daughter who becomes impregnated in high school is Cheyenne, who's played by Joanna Garcia Swisher.
My favorite character on the show.
She's familiar.
She's done quite a bit of stuff that we would have seen her in. She was in Privileged. She was in Freaks and Geeks back in the day. She was on Second Noah. Are You Afraid of the Dark from when we were kids, Julia?
American Pie 2.
Yeah, we covered her, movie. Didn't we? She was in Christmas with the Campbells.
Oh, she was. We did. You're right. We covered
her. Was she? Who was she in that movie?
Becky. And we talked about how she had a really disturbing role on Law & Order SVU.
We did talk about that. I do remember that. She has another Christmas movie from 2008 that I'm sure we'll cover at some point. A Very Merry Daughter of the Bride.
Steve Howey plays Van Montgomery, her husband, in this. And he has been in the TV series recently. Recently, he's been in the TV series Shameless. And... Mm-hmm. Up until 2021, and he's in True Lies, the TV series.
Fantastic on Shameless.
He plays a real character, not a farce.
I mean, he does have a lot of comedic moments on that show, but yes, he is definitely more well-rounded than on this one.
The younger sister, Kira, is played by Scarlett Palmers, who has not done anything since Reba.
Really?
Nope. She was in Star Trek Voyager before that, and a lot of single episodes. And then Mitch Holloman plays Jake, the younger brother. We are covering season 2, episode 10 of Reba, Cookies for Santa.
Anyone else? This is the only Christmas episode. That's where I was going.
That's where I was going to say too. The only Christmas episode, which for a show like this with all of the religious undertones and everything that it has throughout it anyway, it seems surprising that this was the only Christmas episode. But this one made me a little sad. It seemed it hit home, thinking about having kids and all of that good jazz. In this episode, it's the first Christmas where Cheyenne had her baby Elizabeth, and Barbara Jean had their son. And Reba's looking forward to having Christmas with a baby again. She's excited because the kids live at home with their baby. And so it's going to be a big, exciting Christmas. But Van and Cheyenne decide they want to go somewhere else for Christmas. Her daughter Kira wants to go somewhere else. And Jake wants to go somewhere else. And we're going to end up alone. So it's feeling very sad and empty, nesty, right? Mm-hmm. It opens up with Reba talking about all their Christmas traditions and how excited she is. And then she makes an offhanded comment that she still remembers how hard it was to tell her parents that they weren't going to have Christmas at their house when Cheyenne was a baby. And mm-hmm. they started making all of these, their own traditions. And we see something that runs throughout the entire show. There's a little jealousy from Kira towards her older sister, Cheyenne. Mm-hmm. And that comes to play where basically they're talking about how, you know, they did all these things for Cheyenne, how great Cheyenne is. And Kira's like, oh, I love that everything Cheyenne does is perfect. I'm really excited about how the sun comes up for her every morning or something. You know, there's this animosity. Mm-hmm. But what that little throwaway comment did was it got Cheyenne and Van thinking, oh, we should go do our own thing for Christmas. So they're going to go to Lake Conroe.
So wild. I heard that and I was like, what?
Yeah.
Is this in Houston? What the crap?
We never hear Lake Conroe mentioned in TV. But they're going to go there and have a cabin in the woods with deer, which is very anti-Christmas, according to Reba. And
she's in her feels.
She is. And around the same time, we hear that Jake, her youngest child, has decided he wants to spend Christmas at his dad and Barbara Jean's and be with the baby. So she's got two rejections. During all of this, she and Brock are talking, and she says that she's going to give Jake a bike for Christmas, and he needs to be at her house so he can open it. But what's the problem with that?
Well, he already bought a bike. Dad already bought a bike.
And wants to give it to him at his house.
That's right. So everything is getting taken from her.
It is. I do like the recurring joke about how awful Jake's singing voice is and how nobody wants to sing and how Reba weaponizes that against her husband, because when she, or her ex-husband, when he says Jake's going to stay there and she's like, hey, Jake, just remember, if you sing loud enough, I can hear you all the way from here. And so she settles in and it's going to be her and Kira and they're going to have a great Christmas together, right?
Sure.
But then Kira gets a phone call and tells her friend's mom to continue circling around the neighborhood until she asks her mom about going to their Christmas open house.
Yep.
So Reba lets her, and now we're suddenly sad.
I'd be sad. I mean, if it was just abrupt like that, and it's like Christmas too. Or Christmas Eve at this point.
Yeah, there was no notice.
It's Christmas Eve. It's Christmas Eve. I don't care if there's notice. My kid is going to be at my house on Christmas Eve. Her husband's going to have to just deal with that. I'm sorry. Like, that's just the way it works. Christmas at the Crows.
Not, it also didn't strike right me as realistic that she's a Christmas Eve tree decorator.
No.
I don't think many Southern people are Christmas Eve tree decorators.
No, that's what
many
people
the... in general are nowadays. We've talked about this a million times, like how this is the most unrealistic thing about so many movies, including like Hallmark freaking movies. Like, it's just not a thing anymore, at least in America.
No. No, I think especially with all of the with the rise in popularity of fake Christmas trees, I'm sorry, official Christmas trees,
right.
I think it's become less and less of a thing. I don't know anybody who does that, and I can't imagine Reba with her character would be the kind of person to do that, but she does. They're supposed to decorate the tree.
Well, like you said, especially with all the religious undertones and it being set in the South, like, it's just even more unrealistic.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't decorate the tree. Reba had baked a bunch of cookies. She decides to go make herself feel better by going to the homeless shelter with random food and gravy for some reason. And
well, she ends it up... almost sounded like she cooked the whole Christmas dinner and then everybody bailed and was she was left with the Christmas dinner.
Right.
Which
so she takes the whole thing
really
to the homeless
rude.
Shelter.
It's
yeah. Could you imagine? Like if
it's
you're
really rude, but I
also spread and then you're like, peace out. I'm actually not staying.
The whole thing is very rude. Again, like, if you're not going to spend Christmas at home, give some notice. It's Christmas Eve. Like,
yeah.
Give 2 weeks. If you give 2 weeks at a job, give 2 weeks to your mom that you're not spending Christmas with her.
So Reba's at the homeless shelter, and she meets this old dude who looks loosely Santa.
Very loosely Santa.
He's got a white short beard, and that's kind of it. But
she's
gives him
portly.
A cookie. He is portly. He's not
he
jolly, though.
He's cranky.
He must be a South Pole Santa.
He is not jolly in anything he stars in. That's just this guy's, like, caricature.
This guy is Victor Rader Wexler. And we've all seen him.
There's a ton of voice work.
Yeah.
He does. He also... Oh, absolutely. He's on the Troll Hunters Tales of Arcadia as a voice actor. Wizards. He was in Boss Baby and the Boss Baby TV series. I remember he was a major player in Minority Report, which I think is the first place I recognized him from.
You're right. He was on a lot of shows like King of Queens and Everybody Loves Raymond and
yep.
Seinfeld.
He's always like a cranky boss, right? He's
yeah.
like a cranky boss.
Yeah.
If you watched any 90s shows, he's probably been in at least one episode.
Yeah.
Seinfeld. He had the famous, he was the doctor who told George that his fiance died. So he's kind of one of the more famous Seinfeld guests.
Oh, the stamp glue.
Yeah.
Yep.
Envelope.
Yep. From licking the envelopes
that he was too cheap.
He's too cheap to bet.
So he ends up talking trash about Reba's cookies. She offers him gravy. He says, did you make it? And then she says yes, and he says no thank you. Well, then he ends up telling her he's Santa and he's got a lot of work to do, and then it comes out that he's a mall Santa, but there's still something more. There's a little mystery they're trying to build here, and I don't think they do a good job with it, right? Like, I think they're trying to make us question, is he the real Santa or not?
They do it about as well as any sitcom does with the whole...
I think they could have done a lot better.
It's definitely a trope, though, right? In a sitcom, like, oh, is this guy Santa or is he not? Is he just a benevolent old man offering advice?
It is a trope. Yeah. It is a trope that of course, if you're going to do one episode of Christmas, you probably either do that or It's a Wonderful Life trope. Like, that's just what you're going to do.
Sure.
Or a Christmas Carol. Those are the big three.
Or the Christmas Carol. You're right. You're right. Yep. So he ends up saying he's alone for Christmas. He doesn't have anybody to spend it with because it's hard to be Santa. So they have this bonding moment. Reba breaks down. He's like, look, I'm eating your gravy. Like, he's doing her a big favor. And Reba goes home. Yep. While all this is going on, Cheyenne and Van are realizing life isn't as peachy at the cabin as they thought, and they miss stuff with Reba. So they go home.
I think what works about this episode for me is that it is a struggle that most people go through at some point in their lives who are married and everything, and you have separate families and separate traditions, and it's how you kind of balance them out. And I think that's something a lot of viewers can relate to. So I think it worked on that level for me. Smart. It was relatable. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I like the way that serendipity happens and everything comes around.
Mm-hmm.
Kira finds out that the party she went to was not very fun. And she says that it wasn't even Christmas, that the family was Jewish. And Jake came home.
Yep.
Which...
it's just, he was afraid Santa wouldn't actually know where to deliver stuff.
So he came home to leave a note because Barbara Jean told him Santa didn't have a phone.
Whenever we go up to Canada for Christmas.
Well, Santa listens to our podcast, so he knows when you're going now. You don't have to worry about that.
That's true.
So he wants to leave a note. Brock tried to save the day by saying that they could call Santa and Barbara Jean. To Barbara Jean, that's just the most ridiculous thing. Everybody knows Santa doesn't have a phone. They didn't bring the baby, though, did they?
No. Not wait, bothered so you me, keep like... mentioning this baby? And I'm like, you mean the daughter's baby? And like, no, Brock... I don't think you see their baby at all this whole episode.
And this is another sitcom trope, like Friends. Once Emma's born, you barely see her, and Ben is completely written off the show. It's like every sitcom wants to do the baby plotline, and they're like, crap, we don't want to have a baby on set all the time, so let's just have them in another room. That's so fussy.
Yep.
Not everyone can be a Breaking Bad baby who literally improvises the heartbreaking mama line.
Do y'all know what they named their baby?
No, what?
Henry Charles Jesus Hart.
What?
Henry Charles Jesus Hart is their baby's name. But baby's not there. And usually we don't see Elizabeth either. Like, the babies just are not around. And we'll maybe see Jake for a few minutes in a lot of episodes. Anyway, they get there and there's this bad storm. So they're stuck in the house. And there's no way that they're going to go home. So they end up spending the night. And everybody goes to bed, and then Reba gets up in the middle of the night, and Brock is sitting at her island having a drink of some, what looks like cocoa or coffee or something. And they have a very, you know, heartwarming moment between ex-wife and ex-husband. Mm-hmm. But there's a bike there, right? There's a bike under the tree. And
yeah,
Reba thinks that it's Brock went and got the bike. Yeah, Reba thinks Brock went and got it, and Brock thinks Reba bought it, but maybe that was Santa.
Did we completely gloss over the fact when they're decorating the tree, Barbara Jean comes in with ornaments hanging from her breasts?
Not only that, she's got this epic Christmas sweater, so she's got the ornaments hanging off of her breasts, and then she decides when they do tinsel that she's supposed to put on the tree one piece at a time, she starts throwing the tinsel on Reba's head, and that goes over very well. She's very chummy. She's very chummy with the woman who she stole her husband from.
I mean, this show is very much their dynamic reminded, and the ex-husband's dynamic reminded me a lot of another show you like, Tom, The New Adventures of Old Christine.
It is. Huh. So
I was surprised by all that. I didn't know that was the setup of the show. You know, divorce and all that.
Divorce, infidelity.
I do like, though, that they...
teen pregnancy.
So, because so many shows do show, like, parents can't get... divorced parents can't get along for their children or kind of co-parent. I do like that the show showed that they can, despite their annoyance and differences with each other.
Yeah.
So, all right. Is this a Christmas episode?
Of course it is. And it has a lie in this moment.
Yeah, it's Christmas. It does. The family stuff, like, I feel that 100%.
The plot itself is very relatable. I think it's the characters that bring it down for me. Just like between Brock and his new wife. It's Brock who's the ex-husband, right?
Brock, correct.
Yeah. So between him and his ex-wife and the daughter's husband, there are two. It's almost like there are too many dumb characters, right? Where Reba's like the only smart one. Like, I wish there was more balance between them a little bit. Like, where they weren't all so dumb. And you had
some. Kira's not dumb.
No, she's not. I actually. It does
feel unbalanced.
Yes. Okay. That's what I'm looking for. Unbalanced.
It's kind of like. I really like Last Man Standing. I actually really like that show. And they had a good balance between their smart and their not smart characters, right?
Mm-hmm.
They did.
Like, the not smart daughter was very savvy in other areas. And her husband, you know, is like the not smart male character, but he still had heart. The Van character in this one is just like dumb as a bag of rocks. Just,
I love him.
He was too dumb for me, and maybe he's different in other episodes, but this like, show to is jump almost into it like this, I didn't have a connection with him.
This is almost like, kind of remind me of like, what would The Office have been like if Michael Scott was a smart character and literally the rest of The Office was full of people who acted like I didn't like hate my time watching it or anything. Like, we didn't really go too deep into histories. I did watch the show a lot in syndication on ABC Family back in the day. They showed it, used to show it a lot when it was on. So it's just kind of like a thing of convenience. It was on. It was amusing enough. And so I didn't hate this at all. It's just, I don't know if I would go out of my way to watch it when there are so many other shows that do better Christmas episodes, in my opinion. You know what I mean? But I mean, I mean, it's March. It was a Christmas. It was definitely Christmas. So I enjoyed my time with it.
The tree looked really beautiful when they got it decorated.
Yeah, it did.
Everything felt Christmassy about it.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, like, again, the plot was the saving grace for me in this one.
So what are we going to rank it?
Four tater tots.
Okay.
Isn't that her thing, tater tots?
Wait, was it? Did I miss that?
Reba McEntire's on The Voice right now. And so her thing, whenever she adds somebody to her team, is she gives them tater tots as she's cooked.
Oh, interesting.
I thought that echoed through other stuff she's done, but maybe tater tots are like a big deal in this restaurant in Atoka.
This is new to me. I did not know this.
I thought Tom would be like, oh, tater tots. I see what you're doing there. But nope.
This is new.
Interesting. Okay. Tater tots. Now I know what to offer Reba McEntire in my home if she ever comes to visit. Can I put on some tater tots for you?
She probably will not like your tater tots.
You don't know that. I'm an excellent cook. I'm Italian.
Yeah, Italian. That, you know what's not Italian? Tater tots.
Tater tots.
Fine. I'll make spaghetti for her then.
I'll make some meatballs. You're in New York. Eat the meatball sub.
I'm going to give this... It was her cookies that Santa insulted, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm going to give this a big box of Reba McEntire's cookies in that it's not my favorite thing in the world, but they're still Christmas cookies. So I'm still going to enjoy it anyway. So,
right around Japan, they taste real good.
I'm going to give this 6 bikes under the tree.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Bikes under the tree. How many bikes do you need?
I don't know, but more is always better, right?
that goes against the whole message of Christmas. Except now it's under the tree.
So maybe Christmas can be bought at a store.
Shouldn't you say, I give this 3 puppies, 1 Ellie, 1 Christine, and 1 Anthony and Julia wrapped under the tree.
I don't love puppies right now, so that's not gonna be a problem. I have too many puppies in my life, y'all.
Oh, I remember that phase, and I only had one.
Yeah, but yeah, same. It was the most frustrating. It is rough. Still rough owning a dog who somehow managed to slip his harness to Nyana Walk, not even just a collar, and to chase him down the street.
Oh, that's fun.
Well done. Wow.
Good job, Larry.
Stealthy.
He is a Houdini. Real quick, I didn't bring it up before we talked the episode. We have some breaking Christmas movie news.
What is it?
Arnold Schwarzenegger is playing Santa Claus.
Whoa.
Arnold Schwarzenegger to star with Alan Richson of Reacher in Christmas comedy The Man with the Bag. The logline reads, when Santa's magic bag is stolen, he turns to his naughty list to find Vance, a former thief, to help him get it back. Along with Vance's daughter, Santa, and a group of misfit elves, the group has to pull off the greatest heist of their life to save Christmas. I like a good heist movie.
When is that coming out, you said?
It sounds terrible.
I like a good heist movie. I don't know if it's this year or next year. They just announced it.
I meant the Arnold Schwarzenegger part, right? That sounds terrible, doesn't it?
Whoa. Arnold Schwarzenegger has starred in an undisputed Christmas classic where he played Turbo Man.
He did, but he was not playing Santa.
Loves that movie.
You can count on me.
That's going to be so interesting.
Christmas movie news. There have been sightings of a murderous clown dressed as Santa all over Staten Island, getting thrown out of a mall by a bouncer and then silently mocking the bouncer and threatening him silently, and of him in the upper floor of a house clearly murdering someone. So we'll see.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be amazing. I can't wait. I know listeners of Tis the Ruin podcast can't wait either.
That's right. I can't wait for you to break it down.
I think I can wait.
Tom, just be grateful that I'm not putting that one on the main list, because that one is a Christmas.
You will.
I will not. I couldn't take that.
From what I've heard, that would be very difficult. Yeah, that would be very difficult.
Y'all, this was fun. I'm glad we finally got to talk Reba.
I am too.
And if our friends want to talk Reba with us, they can go to Linktree/TisThePodcast. Which will take you to all of our social media sites. Included is our Facebook group that is hopping, and our Patreon site if you're looking for content that goes above and beyond Christmas and you want to drop some money our way. For a minimum of $1 a month, it gets you access to all of our vault of extra content on Patreon. And different levels of giving give you different benefits. For instance, the highest level of giving, you get to pick an episode and come host it with us, which would be super fun.
Ooh, that will be fun.
A lot of content in there coming, a lot already in there. Anthony name dropped Tis the Ruined podcast, which is a little mini spinoff we do where Anthony walks me through a horror flick because I want to know what happens in all of them, but I will definitely not see all of them. That's an absolute blast to do. So check it out. If that sounds like it floats your boat, you can find the link at that same link tree.
I would like to give a shout out to Marty, Julia, if I may, for a moment.
Okay, absolutely.
Shout out. I'm curious. What's going on?
Now, Sarah and Christine have been on Facebook for years and part of our Facebook group for years, but they never interact with anything. Now, Marty just joined Facebook or just became active on Facebook recently, and he will like every post I put into Tis the Podcast. So, Marty, thank you for being a supportive spouse. And Sarah and Christine, please learn something from your male counterpart.
This helped my depression. Thanks, Anthony.
Marty loves Facebook so much. He loves Facebook so much. He was telling me the other day, he's like, did you know that there's whole boards devoted to just Chevy block engines? Like whole boards. And people are actually like messaging me back when I ask them questions. All of them. People selling parts to my truck. And I'm like, you're the cutest thing I've ever seen. You're Facebooking right.
I would also like to thank Marty personally because he likes a lot of my personal posts as well. So Marty, so Julia, give Marty a big old hug for me because we know he loves hugs.
I wish I could like some of your posts, but they're just really not good, Anthony. Gosh.
And we wonder why somebody doesn't get an order. Or some of these texts are ignored.
What? So you wonder why somebody's story doesn't get read and texts get ignored. Anthony, you just won tonight. I really think you did.
Well, you're really going to love me then, Tom. Because I was going to offer, since you go to Houston, I'll edit this if you want.
Will you really?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, Anthony, you're making my whole day. I really should be nicer to you sometimes.
I agree with that sentiment.
You know it's all from a place of love.
I know when it stops, that's when you don't have to worry.
Unlike other people who weaponize meanness, Anthony and I do it as a sign of
affection.
Misappropriated affection.
So next week, we are rounding off TV month by covering the new Frasier revival, the one Christmas episode they've done so far, Reindeer Games, which you can find on Paramount Plus. And then we kick off animated kids month, you know, in honor of late-ish spring break, you know, whatever. Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Christmas Cabin Fever is on the list. Shaun the Sheep is on the list. Regular Show is on the list. That's a Cartoon Network show. The Bad Guys, A Very Bad Holiday, is on the list. That's an original spinoff Netflix did of the, you know, animated cartoon. It's a double whatever. And then The Velveteen Rabbit. Apparently Apple TV did a movie, which isn't animated, but apparently did a movie last year, starring Helena Bonham Carter's in it. I haven't seen it, so we'll see.
Okay,
I'll watch that.
So lots of fun stuff coming up.
There's only 6,768 days until Christmas.
That's also 282 days until Christmas.
It's 40 weeks, y'all. 40 weeks.
We're in the 30s next week already, guys. Like, time's moving. Yeah. You know, time is moving right along. That's a Kermit and Fozzie song, isn't it? Muppet movies?
I think so.
Sounds like it could be.
I'm going to say it is. So when Mike Westfall, if you're listening, you can praise me.
Oh, yes. Do that, Mike Westfall. He likes it when we get stuff right. It just doesn't happen all the time.
He doesn't get to experience that very regularly.
Well, do your homework, y'all. Mike Westfall later on this year, we're covering Sesame Street, which is a Muppet-esque thing, so you should come on for that. And we'll talk to you next week. Bye, y'all.
Bye, gang.
Bye.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow's glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight. Walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away is a bluebird. Here to stay is a new bird. He sings a love song as we go along. Walking in a winter wonderland. Now in the meadow we can build a snowman and pretend that he is Parson Brown. He'll say, are you married? We'll say, no, man, but you can do the job when you're in town. Later on we'll conspire as we dream by the fire to face unafraid all the plans that we made walking in a winter wonderland. And pretend that he's a circus clown. Oh, we'll have lots of fun with Mr. Snowman until those old kids knock him down. When it snows, ain't it thrilling? Though your nose gets a chillin', we'll frolic and